previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Look my face. Did you get any pleasure out of it? There are places you can go where you can get the fat sucked out of you. You'll eventually be fired. Ron, do you have a problem?
Die. Die.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. Hey, will you please close the door behind you? What, do you live in a barn? Oh, you do? I'm sorry. I had my first kiss behind a barn. My parents took me to this horse stable thing, and there was this girl, Ellen, there, who was there with her parents. We were around the same age, like around, I think, 8, 9 years old. I was very young. And she took me to the back of the barn, and she lit up a cigarette. I wasn't even 10 years old yet. And she gave me a few drags on it, and it made me a little bit high. And then she leaned over, and she kissed me. And, yeah. Remember your first kiss? I mean, not the passionate one, but the one when you were like really young, when you just tried it out, and or someone gave you a kiss or something. Not the grandparents on the cheek. I'm talking about someone who was like interested in you for physical reasons, which still could be the grandparents, unfortunately. But do you remember that? No, too much to ask? Too soon? I hope I'm not making this uncomfortable for you by bringing up things from the past that you want to forget. I think we all have that. That's where, when you get old enough, you start forgetting things that happened in your childhood. That's on purpose. That's a convenient thing. This actress, Mary Lou Henner, she was on a show called Taxi. Millennials don't know what the hell's going on here. It was a comedy show called Taxi. Mary Lou Henner played the female person that worked in this, for this taxi company. She actually has this ability, which has been proven. She doesn't forget anything. She's probably around like 50, 55 years old or something, or maybe older. And she has incredible, remarkable memory. She remembers what she had for dinner on any given date in her life. That's freaky. All right. Yeah, I know. Isn't that odd? I would never want a memory. I don't want to remember stuff. I mean, I don't want to be totally blank, but I don't want to remember everything. That's one of the great things about the brain. It's supposed to get rid of the stuff that you don't want. It's like a Roomba vacuum cleaner. It's constantly cleaning the information that's just taking up space. I don't know how many brain cells I have left. I think I'm down to the single digits. But I'll tell you something. I'm glad I don't remember some stuff. It's not all that important. What did I have for dinner on October 17th, 1998? Who the hell cares? All I care about is, did I go to the bathroom after that? Well, I think I did. Other than that, I don't really care about that stuff. And some people go walking around, and they're like showing off. Like, well, I remember back in 1997, I was standing in front of a building, and this man came up. How do you remember that? Why do you remember that?
Little guy, I have an incredible memory.
And what am I supposed to do? Jump up and down and say I'm in the graces of an oracle? I mean, like, what do you want me to do? And how do I know that's true? How do I know you're not making up dates?
I was standing in front of a building October 17th, 1998.
No, you weren't.
Well, I was standing in front of a building, I think.
No, you weren't.
Well, I don't really remember.
Yeah, that's right. You don't remember. Give me that crap. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't have that many brain cells left, quite obviously. So I'm trying to water them. I'm trying to nurture them, make them grow. I've done a lot of interviews on this show, and what they always say is once you destroy your brain cells, they kind of don't come back. And that's not a pleasant thing to know. Because I think you start. I was speaking to a guest, some doctor. I always speak to doctors. I don't feel any better about anything, but I always speak to doctors. This is a couple of weeks ago. It was on October 17th, 1998. I'm standing in front of a building. This doctor comes up. I was doing an interview with a doctor a few weeks ago. Ron, get to the point and shut up. And the doctor says that your body constantly develops through your mid-20s. And then when you hit 30, your body starts to deteriorate. And I said to him, well, thank you very much for that information. I'm very deep into deterioration. Apparently have no brain cells left, really. All my cells in my body are starting to just go somewhere else. I've been degrading since I was 30 years old. Thanks for the information. What do you want to talk about now? If I'm degrading at such a rate, why are you even talking about this? Why are we even discuss this? What are you supposed to do? What do you want me to do? Take vitamins? Well, I don't think so. Do you ever go to the bathroom after you took your vitamins? A little urinary test for you. Take some vitamins. Go to the bathroom and urinate about an hour later. That stuff passes right through you. Now, obviously, that's the dye that they used in the vitamin for the most part. But you can see how fast that crap goes through your body. And not to make a pun. Vitamins don't seem to... I'm no doctor. I am no doctor. I am not a doctor. I am no doctor. But I can see when I'm taking the vitamins, and I can see the toilet bowl, and when the vitamins are leaving my body, it is not a long tour inside. I think there's a direct shoot from my mouth to the toilet bowl, personally, because I don't see it like staying in there long enough to do anything. And that's why the doctors that I do talk to said, you must get your vitamins through foods, Ron. Through foods, you horny little bastard. When you take in nutrition and vitamins through the food, that does permeate your body. That does stay in there, and it does what it's supposed to do. So, Ron, you've got to eat better. You've got to eat more nutritious foods. Doesn't help. Nothing helps. Nothing helps. They tell me to exercise. It doesn't help. Doesn't do anything for me. It makes me hurt more. I hurt the next day after I exercise or do a lot of walking or something. I hurt the next day. I said, well, that's a good hurt. That's a good hurt, huh? I didn't know there was a good hurt. What do you mean it's a good hurt? My body is telling me you did something to me. I'm not happy. I'm expressing myself in the form of pain. Oh, Ron, that's a good pain. Oh, stop it, stop it, stop it with your good stuff. I talked about this a few days ago. It's like when you exercise and you get very dizzy and you feel like you're going to pass out. They call that an exercise high. It's not a high. It's your body telling you, you exercise too much. You almost died. Oh, I don't know. We've got an interesting show today. Oh, really? When does that start? You're so funny. Today, we're going to talk to a sleep expert. How many years of college does that take? Are we not sleeping properly? Is there some place that I should go to that would be better for me sleeping? Am I doing it wrong by lying down? We'll find out about that a little bit later on in the program. Also, Alicia Carey is a New York fashion designer, a prolific one at that, and she joins me on a weekly basis, usually on this day, and we talk about some social issue, which is a kind of thing you don't really talk to people about off the cuff. You need a radio show to do that. So here it is. We're going to talk about changing people, not babies and diapers, but people, making your spouse or your loved one the way that you want them to be, thinking that you can change their personality. Does that actually work? We battle that question out later on in the program. If that doesn't make you stay and listen to the end, I don't know what will. Bottom line, I don't know what will. And that's what's happening on the show today. Thank you so much for being here. I feel like I owe you in one sense. In another, I feel like you owe me. So that doesn't kind of work out on anybody's behalf whatsoever. My nipples hurt.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I do this this thing that you're listening to every single weekday morning. We tape these things in the morning, by the way. If you think these are live, you really got no concept. We tape these very early in the morning. As I sit here now, it's 6 a.m., and I've been up for quite a period of time preparing for this piece of crap that we call the podcast. I do self-deprecating humor, by the way, just in case you haven't picked up on that. I actually love myself as much as you love yourself, but this is a form of humor called self-deprecating. You make fun of yourself. It's very cool. Anyway, I get up very, very early, and that's the way I do it. So I go to bed very, very early. Sometimes, and I think in the middle of the summer, I'm going to bed while it's still light out. It hasn't gotten dark yet. By the way, I understand people who say, wow, it gets dark too early. When it gets dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's depressing. That's horrible. I kind of get that. That's an extreme. But so it also is when it stays light until 9 o'clock at night. That's stupid. That is stupid. Why should it be light out at 9 o'clock at night? Why should the sun still be up at 8 o'clock at night in the middle of the summer? That is so stupid. Sun shouldn't be up at 8 o'clock at night. What do you think this is, Helsinki? I mean, come on, man. I think it's worse for the sun to be up at 8 o'clock at night than it is for the moon to come up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't mind that. I don't mind it getting dark early. I know some of you get depressed syndrome from it. When it gets dark early, you get depressed for some reason. I get happy. I do. I like it when it gets dark. Then I can't see people. It's part of the problem. It's part of the problem when it stays light until 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. And if we call it the evening, otherwise it's called the night. The sun being up at 8 o'clock at night is just, that's pathetic. It's just pathetic because I can see you that much longer. I don't want to see I don't want to see you walking around at 8 o'clock at night. You should be in your house or in your apartment or in your box, wherever you live, in your trailer park. You should be somewhere. You should be somewhere at 8 o'clock at night. You shouldn't be out watering the lawn. It's just, it's 8 o'clock at night, man. Come on. That's the freaky part. That's the part that depresses me. So I guess I'm the opposite of you. You are my opposite. Vice President Pence says that we're going to be back on the moon. NASA's going to be sending people to the moon and also the first female on the moon. Although I suggested that way back, not in a physical sense, but in a metaphysical sense. It says by the year, I think it's, he said 2026. Let me explain something to you, Mr. Pence. I don't think you'll be in power in 2026. And what's the point of going to the moon? Haven't we been there? Now, we haven't been there in quite some time, granted, which means I think the statute of limitations is over for that flag you stuck on the moon. I think it's anybody's flag now. What's the point of going to the moon? What are you going to do up there? You can't live on the moon. Believe me, you can't live on the moon. I mean, places are closing down on Earth. You think you're going to find a Blockbuster up there? I mean, seriously. Ain't going to be Sears. Ain't going to be Toys R Us. Places are closing down. What do you want to go to the moon for? An apartment complex? That's quite a drive to get to the store. You know, I don't know. I'm sure. Why are we going to the moon? What was the point of that? I do understand back in the 60s and 70s, we went to the moon a lot. It was popular, I suppose. It was a popular destination. It was the moon or Virginia Beach. Those two places, a lot of travel. Now, not so much. We've been exploring Mars for quite some time now in our modern-day history, and I haven't seen anybody move up there, although we did have discussion about a year ago that there would be some American volunteers or people from this planet that would go to Mars and just stay there for the rest of their lives until they die. That was supposed to be some social human experiment, people ending their lives early, being shot to Mars to live in a colony, and that's where you die. You never see them again. I suggested that the first person to go to Mars should be Trump tomorrow morning. Let's get him off this planet. Just saying. I'm not saying kill the Republican Party, which Trump already did. I'm talking about getting rid of Trump and then having a new Republican Party. I think that would be wonderful for you guys. You could choose somebody who was, let's say, sane and didn't want to destroy you. Someone who wasn't a mafia boss and made you sign a letter of trust. And, I mean, seriously, he wants to do that. I think he does that. When he hires somebody for the White House, they have to sign a piece of paper saying that they'll be loyal to Donald Trump.
Hey, come here. Thank you for being Secretary of State. Come here. I want to tell you something. The only way you're going to be Secretary of State is if you sign this thing. You're going to be loyal to me. You're going to kiss my ass. Your lips are going to be far up my butt crack. Sign here. Understand, if something happens to you, you're on your own. That's the way this works here in the House. It's called the House. Sign here, or I'll degrade you in front of the other school children.
Wow, Don. The Don. What does that sound familiar? I can't stand the man. I don't care about the Mueller report. I don't care about the Mueller anything. I just can't stand the man. I don't hate the Republican Party. I hate the man who stole it. Who captured it, who altered it. I'm so upset I can't even say that word. I'll never forget after Donald Trump somehow passed his little tax cut plan. By the way, after you do your taxes, let me know how much money you got back. It's not much more than you got before, if you got any back at all. That tax cut was for the rich. You were swindled. How do I know this? Because after the tax package was passed last year, Donald Trump with his rich buddies at Mar-a-Lago Golf Resort. He said to them, "It's on video." He said, "I just made you guys a lot of money." Wow. And this guy's still in office. From that alone should be something to talk about. But no. Anyway, Donald, go to Mars. It's not a bad place, really. You can open up a hotel up there. It'll be the Trump Hotel on Mars. You'll be happy. You'll be happy there. We'll be happy that you're there. It'll be wonderful. Chinese people can rent a top floor from you at the Trump Mars Hotel. It's a win, 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 win. You're out of my face. You're out of my life. Let's do it, Don. Come on. Get the spacesuit on. I was talking about sleep disorders, I believe, at the beginning of the show. It wasn't the beginning. It's somewhere, I think it was on October 17th, 1998. I was standing in front of a building. Anyway, the point is I get up early to do this show, so my sleep schedule is very, very odd. And I know that I don't sleep well. When I was a kid and there was school involved, I remember my mother couldn't get me out of bed. I wanted to stay under those covers the rest of my life. I loved sleeping, and I was able to sleep so well and so comfortably in my bed with my pillows and my blanket, in my bed, in my house of security, my bed. Now, I'm lucky if I sleep 5 or 6 hours tops in a row. What happened? There are some adults that I speak to, that's the end of the sentence. There are some adults that I speak to who still get 8 hours of sleep. You people are odd to me. You're not supposed to be doing that anymore. So I said, well, look, let's talk to a sleep expert and find out what's going on with that. Let's do that now. Dr. Raj joins us. He's currently an assistant clinical professor at the University of Southern California. And we have Carol with us as well.
She's yes, good morning.
Great. Carol is the mother of a teenage patient with narcolepsy. And we're talking about sleep disorders or being just sleepy. How do you know the difference between the two?
And that's the best question right there, because there is a difference. Because, you know, there's the mornings I wake up and I'm really, really tired. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my kids kept me up all night, but there's no way I could sleep today. And when people come in and say they could just sleep on a dime, that's when we start talking about excessive daytime sleepiness. And when we talk about sleep disorders, I really want to raise awareness about one disorder that can present like this, which is narcolepsy. And Ron, if you don't mind, I just want to define for the audience, what is narcolepsy?
Sure.
It's going to be a chronic neurological condition where there's dysregulation of the sleep and wake cycle. So what does that mean to the listeners? Is that if you can imagine this, patients with narcolepsy have these attacks of sleepiness during the day, when they need to be awake, which is at school, at work, on your talk show. And then what happens at night, they have multiple awakenings at night. And I can tell you, it's like a vicious cycle. And I think the key thing I really want to let your audience know is that narcolepsy, like many diseases, is not only a disease of adults. It's actually a disease that we see in children and adolescents. In fact, 50% of my patients with narcolepsy had signs and symptoms before the age of 18 years of age, which is why raising awareness is so important for myself and Carol.
Okay. Now, how common is this? Is this a rare situation, or is it more prevalent than we think?
Oh, great question. So I'm going to say it like this. It's not as uncommon as you think it is. In the fact that narcolepsy commonly gets misdiagnosed, it definitely gets underdiagnosed. And to throw some staggering numbers out there, there's a 10-year delay in making the correct diagnosis. That wasn't like an error. It really is 10 years. And usually it's around 6 physicians before we could set you off on the right track. So once again, it's all about raising awareness, finding the right doctor, and making the correct diagnosis right away.
Yeah. Now, speaking of diagnosis, I know, Carol, your daughter and yourself had quite a journey to try to discern what was going on there.
Yeah, she has all the classic signs of narcolepsy. Mm-hmm. As far as the excessive daytime sleepiness, she would fall asleep in school every day. Mm-hmm. And she would go to the nurse and say that she had headaches so she could take a nap in the nurse's office. and she missed a lot of content in school, and just felt terrible about herself because she couldn't figure out why she couldn't stay awake. Mm-hmm. She'd get up in the mornings and she would cry because she was so exhausted, and she felt like she couldn't continue on like that. She couldn't get herself out of bed. And at some point we realized that she wasn't just a sleepy teen. There was something more going on here, and mm-hmm. that she needed to see a doctor about it.
Yeah. Is it under control now?
Yeah, it is under control. She's doing really well.
Okay.
The diagnosis is the key thing.
Yeah, it is. And that's always the tricky part, because you go to various different areas of the country where they're not as entirely up on this kind of stuff, and then it requires different types of tests and such. And other locations, they can tag this pretty quickly. Dr. Raj, is that still a problem? Is that something that is, I know it looks obvious, but it may not be to a physician?
Yeah, you know, I'll say it this way, because I don't want to make fun of any physicians out there or anything. I would say that if someone comes in, I'm a big believer of the phrase, common things are common. If you ask me what is the most common cause of being tired, fatigued, sleepy during the day, it's got to be insufficient sleep at night. You know, and I got to tell you, a lot of people are sleep deprived, especially after this last weekend with daylight savings. I'm telling you. Yeah. I can imagine, Ron, your listeners are hitting that snooze button. I know they are. But when we talk about, you know, after we know it's going to be excessive daytime sleepiness, well, the differential can include things like obstructive sleep apnea. 20 million Americans have obstructive sleep apnea. Right. Why wouldn't I think that first?
Right.
You know, like I do say that narcolepsy is not as uncommon as you think, but you're right that in order to make the diagnosis, it's beyond just our traditional sleep studies. We have very specific studies that we do to make the diagnosis with the history and physical examination. Yeah. But, you know, I definitely wanted to mention, Carol's right. I think the key thing is that, you know, before looking at anything else, trying to get the right diagnosis early is important, especially when we talk about our children. Because when we talk about signs and symptoms, Ron, you know, just to kind of talk about excessive daytime sleepiness again, you know, I'm sure you and me could articulate what we want to say, but imagine a kid in school. They're not going to say, hey, teacher, I'm excessively sleepy. They're going to be hyperactive. They get misdiagnosed as ADHD.
Right.
They're actually going to be napping in class. They're going to actually say that, hey, you know, I'm getting depression. I'm getting anxiety. So there's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important that I teamed up with Jazz Pharmaceuticals. I teamed up with MoreThanTired.com to actually, we share the same passion, which is awareness about narcolepsy, and I'm really excited to be on the talk show today talking about it.
Yeah. So, but there are resolves to it, quite obviously. Is this a specialty in any sense?
So I would say this. So, you know, I subspecialize in sleep medicine. You know, my core is internal medicine.
Uh-huh.
But even within sleep, you know, if you ask me what is my niche, I do narcolepsy because I feel that this is one of the sleep disorders that you really, it's beyond like having the medical knowledge,
right.
It's having the time to really form bonds with the patient. Like when I hear Carol's story and I hear about her daughter, it's something where it's not just a story. You actually want to live it with her and actually be with them. And sometimes when I help my patient with narcolepsy, it's just trying to be, you know, a friend, because it's not a disease of just the patient, it's the entire family. And I think that's something to try to really incorporate that in my, in being their doctor.
Yeah. Let me ask you, obviously it's a quality of life situation where you can't really function without sleep, but do we get into actual physical dangers where the body is not able to perform properly in the sense of warding off diseases? I mean, does it get as serious as that?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, and I don't even have to only talk about narcolepsy, and that's the big thing, whether it's sleep apnea or narcolepsy or any sleep disorder like sleep deprivation. I mean, can you die from it, Ron? I'm sure on the way to work today, I'm actually on the freeway with a big truck next to me. If they're sleep deprived, they'll just run into me. But of course, long term, sleep deprivation does a number on your hormones, increasing the cortisol levels, higher risk for hypertension, diabetes, and all these things.
Yeah.
And narcolepsy in itself, let me just kind of go back to kids, it's associated with obesity, you know, and that's huge. So, yes, it does have long-term and short-term consequences.
Okay. Well, Carol, I'm glad that you're an example of what can happen when you do take some action and get the proper help in that regard. What if someone has questions? Yeah, very much. And what if someone has questions wondering if they fall into this category or a loved one may?
I think the first thing to do is go to morethantired.com. There's a screening test you can take to see if you have the signs of narcolepsy, and there's a list of specialists. And I would say you really need to talk to your pediatrician. You know, as a parent, you have a relationship mm-hmm. with a pediatrician, and they can recommend you to a sleep specialist.
Wonderful. And if you want to hear more about Carol's story, if you go to the website, there's wonderful testimonials there. And actually, you can meet Carol and her beautiful daughter, Caroline, wonderful. And other patients there, too. So definitely go to morethantired.com, everyone.
Carol and Caroline, that's pretty cool.
I know. I like it.
Yeah, not bad. Okay. Thanks so much for the time from both of you today. Good information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Take care. That was mildly interesting. Okay, fine. Fine. Okay, on to other things. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to the lovely and talented Alicia Carey about changing people. And again, not kids with diapers. I know what you're going to say to me. Be a little more specific when you introduce something. I know. We're going to do that in just a second. But first, do you like beer?
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops. An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years. A true beer drinking experience. Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Falkenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Falkenhalter. It's beer.
Time for chit-chat with Alicia Carey. She joins us now from a coffee shop in Manhattan. Hello.
Hello.
British. Very British today.
Very, because you had a very formal opening, so I have to match it.
Yes, I did. Well, today's subject is kind of interesting. It's something that I think we all go through in our minds but never really happens, and that's about, it has to do with a relationship or with other people. We always want to change somebody so that we think we could get along better with them, or they'd be more attractive to us or more interesting to us, or the relationship would be better. So we always say, well, you know, maybe I can change them into that. It sounds like a recipe for disaster. Do you think that every once in a while when the situation occurs?
I've tried it. I'm actually a perfect subject for that.
Ah, okay. I certainly understand that it's a human condition to try to make someone else better.
Correct. So, yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works. Sometimes it depends on the situation, but we'll talk about that.
Okay. It's usually so that the other person will be more conducive to you, but which is always an improvement, obviously.
That is so true. Yeah. It's frightening, but it's true.
But here's the question is if you can, if you're able to make someone act differently, are you achieving anything, or are you just making them act?
Absolutely.
Spooky. Boy, this is crazy. You know, you should be in a bar instead of a coffee shop.
Very deep today. Yeah, very deep. No, very deep. But I like it. This is a great subject. Great topic.
Yeah. It's a quite. Now, I've done that before as well. And when I am able to make some inroads, it's not that I feel wrong, but I feel like that's not the person, though. They're doing it. See, now, are they doing it for me, or are they doing it because they really changed? Sometimes you can tell the difference, but it seems, after you make the request, it seems kind of disingenuous.
And sometimes you think it's for their, supposedly they're good.
Oh,
I'm going to give you one of my examples.
All right.
One of my examples is an ex-boyfriend of mine. When I first met him, and you know, as our listeners know, that one of my hats that I wear is I'm a fashion designer. Right. And even prior to starting my collection, I met this gentleman. I've always been a love of clothes and et cetera and mm-hmm. fashion. Mm-hmm. So I met this gentleman. He is very well to do, in finance mm-hmm. kind of a guy.
Yep.
And he dressed not so. Oh. And cute as a button, yep. Very attractive. Yep. And I, after our first date, he picked me up in, I was like, okay. And I literally told him on our first date, he actually changed his clothes on our first date in the middle of it. I said, good. Hey, here's how this is going to work. The place that we're going to go to dinner, and I didn't even say that. I just told him, listen, I like to look a certain way and dress right. a certain way, and the right. man that's with me right. has to go that way. So mm-hmm. let's go into a store and change those, I don't know what, the pants, and just change your clothes. And he looked at me, and he was like, sure. And let me tell you something. That one, actually, he was waiting for that, because he, right after that, he became a complete clothes horse.
Well, there you go.
But that's on the positive side. Yeah. On the other side is women became more attractive to him. And I'm not going to say that's why he cheated, but that's, who knows. But, okay. but let me just say, there's a thing with women. Sometimes we change our man so much.
Yeah.
That he becomes an attractive coin to the other people in the universe. Anyways, that's one example. You go.
Well, see, now that makes sense, because that's a superficial thing where the guy might say, yeah, that's fine with me. Change my clothes? Yeah, I don't care about that. And then they might actually get to like your suggestion.
They do.
And that's fine, and that's good. But when you get into the stuff with personality traits, like why do you have to be so mean all the time? Why are you so negative? Why don't you be more positive? Try everything that you say to spin the positive instead of the negative. And they go, well, all right, I'll try. And then you realize in that process, how can I make somebody be different personality-wise? And I'm wondering if you really can. And if you do, is it really genuine? Do you really want to be with this person anyway?
Well, it's temporary. And the reason why I say that, too, is I knew somebody who was a very voracious reader and wanted me to be as much as... And I used to be a very voracious reader. Honestly, I started off as a child. Well, let me just finish. You're so funny. No, reading. I was a big time reader when I was in the second grade or whatever. I just met a really great teacher that I loved, and she got me on reading, where I was basically reading about 7 books a week. It was, I was a very fast reader, as a matter of fact. Anyways, long story short, about right after high school, before college, I just kind of dropped that. Mm. Sorry. Coffee grind.
I dropped that
passion, I guess. And anyway, the gentleman that I was dating is a big time reader. So my birthday was about 10 books. So mm-hmm. I kind of got the hint. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And then he was like, well, you know, we should read more. And I love the TV. The TV is like, it's family for me. It's an aunt or uncle or somebody. Yes. Somebody real close, immediate family.
Yep.
And wherever I go, I always have family or TV with me.
Right.
And anyways, and he would be like, we should turn off the TV. Or he wanted me to watch, you know, certain channels, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, so what you're saying is this a situation where you feel that you need to educate me? Because I can show you my degree, which is probably a little bit more shinier and more prestigious than yours. But I digress. But I knew what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was for it for a minute. But, you know, I like you said, it wasn't a full conversion. It was a temporary conversion, but also I felt that I was expanding energy to do this. Do you know what I mean? Like it was an energy to be around him.
Sure. Doesn't work out. If you recognize someone's trying to change you, it becomes an insult. And by the way,
well, not necessarily an insult, but you're actively trying to do something and it makes it going to work. It felt like you were working 24/7.
See, and actually you brought something up, which is actually a sub-conversation. So you always bring things up that make good for good conversation some other time. But what you said was very interesting. In order to make you more what he wanted you to be, for your birthday, he got you books. That is that is weird, because usually for a present, you give somebody something that they like or that they're currently into, or they indicate in conversation, I like comic books. Okay. And then for their birthday, you give them comic books. And that's what a birthday is. You satisfy their wants and desires on that special day. This guy gave you books to which you did not express an interest in at that particular time. I find that I find that to be almost insulting.
That was many buttons that I checked on that one. But what about you? Have a woman ever tried to change you? I know that God made you in this perfect mold. Have they ever tried to change the Ron Meister?
The mold isn't perfect, but it's damn close. Yes, they have, and it never worked out. Because it just, as you say, you used the word temporary. It's in the process. It's an okay temporary thing, but after a period of time, no, someone resents the change, and it's not good. The only way it works is if two people simultaneously want to change each other. At that point, I think in the back of their minds they're saying, "Well, then why am I even doing this?" Because we're trying to change each other, like. Are we the last two people on Earth? I mean, I don't understand why we're doing this. So it's interesting. I mean, my conclusion is that it just doesn't work. You have to have something going on there. And if it's that much of a thing where you want someone to change to be more like you, then I don't think that's going to happen.
But can I say something?
Yes.
Sometimes I do feel, I mean, none of us come to each other perfect.
Yeah.
And I do feel that there are slight adjustments that we all do make. For example, I'm very neat and clean.
Yes.
And I personally could never be with somebody who is, let's just say, the exact opposite.
Correct.
And vice versa, they could be with me. But
right.
I have been with somebody who has made adjustments and, you know, based on my way of housekeeping, you know what I mean?
Right. That's adjustment is fine.
It was an adjustment. And then there were certain things that I had to work on, you know, that this person was a stickler on. So I think we still, when we come into a relationship with somebody, be it man or woman, we do make some, adjustments sometimes to, you know, to make it a smoother
road. Well, yeah, let's call it a tweak of something. That either it's not that consequential to you. In other words, the sloppy thing. That could be heavy stuff. If somebody was brought up in filth and they're comfortable in filth, that's a deal breaker for me. But if they leave their underpants on the floor and I say, because, you know, everything's great, just could you pick your underpants up and, like, put them in the hamper or something? Or I didn't call them panties. I don't know what you people call that.
Panties.
Okay. So and they say, sure, no big deal. That I can do that. That's fine. That's a tweak. That's not consequential. Living in with stuff all over the place, I couldn't do it. I'm too much of a neat freak for that. So there you go. Tweaks, yes. Changing people, for me,
nay.
And that's the vote that has been taken in the chit-chat court.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next time, who knows what we're going to be talking about?
Oh my gosh!
It could
who
be horrible.
Knows?
It could be dangerous
it
and horrible.
Could be a lot of stuff.
And thusly, we must come to the end of our journey for today. Fear not. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you be here at some juncture of the day tomorrow or whatever? I hope so. I so much hope so. You did sign a loyalty agreement, didn't you? I thought I had made you sign that. I forgot. I wish you peace.